So let us pray. Loving God, we praise you for your coming to us in Christ, walking our earth and sharing our humanity. We thank you for the inspiration you give us through him. We thank you for the revelation of your purpose in Jesus. Everything we see of you throughout his earthly ministry, we remember how he taught the multitude, instructed his disciples, and interpreted the laws, how he healed the sick, responded to the needy, and cared for the poor, showing compassion, how he confronted injustice and challenged oppression and overcame evil. For the wonder of your love, we praise you. In praising you, we come to seek your forgiveness and to ask for renewal. Help us to learn from Jesus' example and from our failings. We are sorry for those things which we have done and ought not to have done, and those things we ought not to have done which we have done. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord. Put a right spirit within us. Help us to recognize all Jesus has done for us through his life, death, and resurrection as we come gladly to you, confessing our sins, acknowledging our thoughts, accepting our weaknesses. We come to worship you this morning, to recall your goodness, to marvel at your grace, and to commit ourselves to your service. And for the wonder of your love, we praise you. And we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. And shall we continue with the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. There was a youth, 15, 16 years old. He lived on an estate just outside. It was either a large village or a small town. And he was walking in one morning to town, all on his own, and suddenly a car came round the corner, knocked him down, sent him flying. The car stopped, person got out, had a quick look, no one in sight, got back in the car, drove off, left him there, bleeding at the side of the road. A little while later, along comes a businessman with his briefcase, sees him. But I have this very important meeting, must catch the train, can't miss it. We've got the budget for the fish knives this morning, we've got to decide quickly. Someone else is bound to be along. So off he hurries to catch the train. A little while later, an elderly lady comes along, if I can do this. Oops. I should have practiced this, I think. Anyway. visualise an elderly lady comes along. Oh dear me. Oh dear. Oh, how unpleasant. I do wish I hadn't seen this. I've got to get to my coffee morning. I do wish I hadn't noticed that. And she scurries off. You're beginning to recognise this story, I think. Next, if this works, we have the minister of the URC. Will it tuck in? Oh, golly, golly, gosh. Poor fellow. We do have this important prayer meeting, and it won't go ahead without me. We'll say a prayer for you when I get there. So he goes off. There's no relation to this church or any local. Finally, take my specs off for effect. Along comes a hoodie. Now, hoodies haven't got a good reputation because occasionally people wearing hoods go into shops and pull the hood over so they can't see their face and they steal things. But the hoodie comes along and he sees this fellow. I think I recognise him. He's one of those yobs on that rival gang. Oh, he's badly hurt though. I remember when I was beaten up once. Gosh. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Ah, mobile. They always have a mobile. 999 calls the ambulance. And so along comes the ambulance. Are you coming with him? Yes, okay. Gets in the back for the ambulance and they go off to the hospital. And at the hospital, after waiting around to see what happens, he goes and gets a fellow a drink in the cash machine, puts some money in, gives him a can of Coke while he's sitting there waiting for the triage to finish all the stuff. And you obviously recognise the story. But the theme this morning is it's not quite love your neighbour. It's about showing and feeling compassion. You know, when does compassion take over from what the rules and regulations and what normal procedures sort of dictate? So let's sing hymn number 413, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Oh,
Now, our first of our readings, the call of Jeremiah, is going to be given to us by Liz Cook.
The first reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Page 730 in the Pew Bible. The Call of Jeremiah. The Lord said to me, I chose you before I gave you life, and before you were born, I selected you to be a prophet to the nations. I answered, Sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, Do not say that you are too young, but go to the people I send you to and tell them everything I command you to say. Do not be afraid of them, for I will be with you to protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my lips, and said to me, Listen, I am giving you the words you must speak. Today I give you authority over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Thanks be to God.
And now Peter Ashdown is going to give us our second reading to do with the question of healing on the Sabbath.
The second reading is from Luke 13, verses 10 to 21, on page 97 of the Pew Bible. One Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and the woman there had an evil spirit that had made her ill for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out to her, Woman, you are free from your illness. He placed his hands on her, and at once she straightened herself up and praised God. The official of the synagogue was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. So he spoke up and said to the people, There are 6 days in which we should work. So come during these days and be healed, but not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, You hypocrites! Any one of you would untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and take it out to give it water on the Sabbath. Now there is a descendant of Abraham, whose Satan has kept bound up for 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath? His answer made his enemies ashamed of themselves, while the people rejoiced over all the wonderful things he had said. Jesus asked, What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it with? It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed and sows it in his field, and the plant grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make their nests in its branches. Again, Jesus asked, What shall I compare this kingdom of God with? It is like this. A woman takes some yeast and mixes it with 40 litres of flour until the whole batch of dough rises. And here endeth that lesson.
Thank you, Peter. Let us sing again hymn number 371. 371. It is around 2,000 years ago in Galilee. You are on the edge of a crowd that has been following Jesus around, and so you follow him into the synagogue. You haven't up to now been able to hear everything Jesus said, but you get the drift of his specialness and certainly are impressed by his healing powers. So in you go on this Sabbath. You see this poor woman, a well-known character. In a village where everyone is known, people would know who she was and how long she had been like this. She was bent over, and we can imagine she may be somewhat odd in her talk, as Luke says that she has an evil spirit. You see Jesus, who has been the centre of attention and talking with authority, stopping and showing compassion for this one person in the crowd, for the poor woman. He places his hands on her, saying, "Woman, you are free from your illness." You see her straighten up. The first time you have ever seen her straight. and she praises God for her healing. What is your impression? The official of the synagogue is so tied up with the correct procedures and strict observing of the religious laws, doing no work on the Sabbath, that he discounts or overlooks the humanity of the situation. Healing was viewed as part of a doctor's profession, and practicing one's profession on the Sabbath was prohibited. The law is being flouted. Of course, the official may also have been feeling jealous of the attention this visiting rabbi is receiving. His own position of authority is being threatened. So there is a parallel with the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Levite and the priest hurry by, pushing religious rites and procedures ahead of showing compassion for the individual, not wanting to be unclean in the eyes of the strict laws and rituals. Religion can be seen as an institution. The Sabbath day was an epitome of Jewish religion, the day of rest, a gift from God. But it was so fossilized and encrusted with traditions that it had become distanced from the spirit of the faith. Jesus shows grace. The official shows lack of grace. Rules and laws are there for a purpose, but compassion, loving your neighbor, must not be crushed by them. And Jesus answers the criticism of his healing, i.e. working on the Sabbath, by calling them hypocrites, as they would seize their animals on the Sabbath if necessary. You are there, watching and listening. You see the point Jesus is making, and how happy the healed woman is shouting out and praising God. Now you know that you are in the presence of someone special. This is the one you should follow. Jesus has gone on to talk of the kingdom of God growing like a seed planted in a garden, or a small amount of yeast being used in making bread. Jesus has sown a seed in you that very day. You decide that you will follow him more closely. Perhaps get to the centre of the crowd in future so that you can hear all he says. There are times when we need to be aware that following procedures or rules or common practices need to be challenged or the rules bent when Jesus indicates, or following Jesus indicates, a different action. As many of you may know, my wife Brenda cracked her femur. She was taken in agony to A&E. The doctor who examined her had to manipulate the leg to assess the situation. He then said they needed to x-ray the leg, and because Brenda was in pain, he would take her to the x-ray department himself rather than wait for a porter, which can take some minutes. Another older doctor saw him pushing the bed and questioned him. "That is for porters. As doctors, we should not be doing this." And so on for quite a few seconds. "My patient is in great pain," he answered, and continued to push the bed into the corridor and to the x-ray department. It happened that we met a porter along the way who took over. I thanked the doctor. "Well," he said, "there are times when you need to use your sense and not strictly keep to the laid down rules." He showed compassion and caring. In most jobs, there is an area or element where you can do the basic work according to what your employers require. But there is an area where at times, in following Jesus, you may need to go the extra mile. Give your client or customer extra time and consideration. We are not robots, and each of us needs to feel valued. Over-reliance on rules and procedures can impersonalise. Getting back to Brenda again, on flying back from Los Angeles before the leg had broken, Brenda had had difficulty in walking a long distance, and we arranged wheelchair assistance at the LA airport and at Heathrow. The woman wheelchair porter at LA was monosyllabic. She did her basic job of pushing the chair and getting us through passport control, etc., but certainly wasn't gracious, didn't smile or do anything other than the very, very minimum. At Heathrow, the porter, a friendly Polish young woman, was smiling and welcoming, asked where we'd been, took us past the official point where she could have dropped us off, and I know who gave us the better feeling. As Christians, our attitude towards others reflects how they view us as Christians. If we're like the Los Angeles porter, then what does that say about being a Christian? If we are open and smiling and welcoming, this says something about being a Christian. We need to feel and show compassion, not just follow standard rules. I told the following story from the Second World War some 6 years ago, so one or two may have remembered it, but it is a good story and worth repeating. After their long trek into Russia, the German army was defeated. The Russians decided to parade the captured soldiers through the streets of Moscow to where they were to be interned as a morale booster this march. Soldiers lined the route to keep back the crowd of mainly women. The men were mostly in the army. And many of the women had lost a husband or son or father killed by those hated Germans. First in the parade came the German officers, smartly uniformed, goose-stepping, with superior pride, perhaps still confident that they were the master race. The crowd was shouting and throwing stones and rotten fruit. Their anger and noise dominated the scene. Then followed the ordinary soldiers, shambling past in dishevelled, torn, blood-stained uniforms, with arms in slings, some hobbling or on crutches, some supported by their comrades. As the apathetic, half-starved soldiers shuffled by, the noise from the crowd ceased. All that could be heard was the unrhythmic shuffling of boots on the cobbles. Suddenly, an elderly woman broke through the ranks of soldiers lining the route. She thrust a piece of bread into the hand of one of the soldiers. This sparked off others, and soon women were giving apples or cigarettes or bread to the soldiers as they passed. What initially had been bald hatred had turned to compassion. They had begun to see the men as individual human beings who were suffering, and not as Germans who somehow must therefore be hated. It's also interesting that the officers showing pride and even contempt did not elicit this compassion. It was the humble, suffering foot soldiers who received the better welcome from the Muscovites. So there is a lesson there for us to see the person, not the stereotype, like the hoodie in my play acting earlier. Loving your neighbour involves feeling compassion. It sounds so easy until we realise that our neighbour isn't the people much like us who live next door, but everyone, everywhere. And with loving your neighbour as a commandment, God challenges us to explore what we are able to do. The list is endless, for there's virtually no limit to the human need within our world. We hear of Pakistan floods at the moment. People desperately in need of physical support and help, in need of a little kindness and compassion. There is that verse from Matthew's Gospel. When did you see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did you see a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? The answer, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. We can show compassion in the way we deal with individuals we meet. We can also show compassion by supporting Christian Aid and other charities, helping people in the third world. And we can't, of course, respond to them all. Compassion is a depth of feeling. It's one thing to do something that's good out of a sense of duty, but ideally, to do it out of a depth of feeling. We can brush away feelings, gloss over them, or we can open ourselves up to gain more understanding of the other person, who in the eyes of God is always our neighbour, no matter who they are. Jesus showed compassion to the woman in the synagogue. He shows us compassion in the forgiveness and mercy he promises when we admit our sins and failings. Like the mercy the Russian women showed to the suffering German foot soldiers. By putting the welfare of others before ourselves and doing so in a feeling of true compassion, doing unto others as we would like done to us, we are thus acting out God's love. We are the body of the church, God's presence on earth, you and I. What an immense privilege, what an awesome thing. God loves each one of us individually, and we can actively seek to love our neighbour, showing compassion just as Jesus did, and not pass by on the other side, or allow rules or procedures to affect our judgment. Amen. So let us sing a hymn about Jesus, hymn number 522, 522. Thank you. So let us have a time of prayer. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for you have created us and supplied all we need. You have created a world where there is enough for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. Help us to live graciously as you are gracious to us. And blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord God, we ask your blessing upon your church throughout the world, that it may witness to your love and your saving power. We remember especially where the church is reaching out to the extremely poor and the outcasts of society. We ask you to guide all who stand against injustice and oppression. And may your church work for the liberation of all who are used as slave labour or who are in refugee camps. We give thanks for all you have given us, O Lord, in this country. And we remember and bring to you all who are suffering through famine, war, or poverty. We pray for all who live in shanty towns or in impoverished dwellings. Those who do not have proper medical care or education. Those rendered homeless and perhaps lost relatives in the floods in Pakistan and also in China. May the proper aid be forthcoming to those victims. We pray for the rebuilding in Haiti. As we give thanks for the comfort of our homes, we remember all who have been made homeless through the floods or for many reasons throughout the world. We give thanks for our health service and all who attend to our well-being, and pray that things will improve for those throughout the world who are affected by HIV or other illnesses where there isn't adequate medical care. Lord, we are asked to love our neighbour. We pray for all our neighbours, that they may know your comfort and security of coming to believe in you or experience your love through the help given them by church aid agencies and people acting out of common compassion and humanity. We pray for those known to us who are in need of your comfort and support and healing. I want to have, say, 30 seconds of silence when we may wish to pray for those whom we know personally. Merciful Father, accept these prayers in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us take our offertory. Lord God, we bring our money as a sign of our committing ourselves to you and to loving our neighbour in your name. Amen. Thank you. Now let us sing our last hymn, number 663, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, 663. The grace of Christ redeem you. The power of Christ renew you. The example of Christ inspire you. And the love of Christ shine from you. Go in faith to walk his way and make him known to his glory. Amen.